We are more than victorious because of Him. We have a boast on our lips, and it's this, that it's all about Jesus. That it's all about Jesus. Amen. Amen. We're going to take our seats for a short while as we continue our time of hearing from God. John the Baptist said, Jesus must increase so that we, at least, we must decrease so that Jesus can increase. And that's a good time of the year to remind ourselves that we had to take up our cross to follow Him. You know what that meant? You know what that meant? Do you know what that meant? To take up your cross and follow Him? It meant you were prepared to lay down your life in surrender and acknowledge that you were dying. It was an indication that you came to the end of your life. That's what it means to take up your cross. So when someone says to you, Christians have to take up the cross and follow Him, if you are born again, you should be able to say, yes, that's exactly what I did when I came to that decision in life, that He's my new King. He's my new authority. I'm submitting my life to Him under His lordship, under His care, under His sovereignty. That's what it means. But Christianity is much more than that. Christianity is going through the cross into this thing we call resurrection. And that should be the normal Christian life, living in the resurrected power of Jesus. Isn't that good news? Well, we just want to welcome you if you're visiting here this morning. And I know we've got some visitors from Joburg, Bill's son and daughter-in-law. Is that right? Or is it the other way around? I just want you to stand up. I know we've got a lot of visitors, but I want you guys to stand up. I didn't know Bill had such a good-looking family from Joburg. And we just want to welcome you guys. But the other reason I wanted you to stand up was, so now you know why when Bill was younger, guys didn't mess around with him, okay? Thank you, thank you. Sean, where are you? No ways. Hey, Sean-o! Hey, nice to see you too. And other visitors, don't you want to just raise your hand so we can see who's visiting with us here this morning? I don't know, welcome to you. Welcome over there. Welcome, did I miss anyone here? Welcome. Nice to see you all this morning, this beautiful day. He is risen. Indeed. He is risen, amen. And when you came in this morning, you were handed the notices. This kind of tells you about all the stuff happening in the church, so we don't have to take 10 minutes now explaining what's already there. So please take one of those and have a good look at it and see what's going on. And then also, just a little word of pastoral concern or pastoral advice, if you like. In the same way, if someone was coming to visit you and you knew they were an alcoholic, and you had alcohol all over the house, it would be a wise thing, just for the sake of the person coming in, to not have it in visible display. Would you say that's common sense? So, in the same way, because this building, where the church comes together on Sunday, can be frequented by anybody who would like to walk through those doors, providing they're not wielding a 9mm. But in the same way, we just need to be wise where we leave our wallet and our cell phone and our laptop and our iPod and our iPad and our iMac and our desktop computers. So just a pastorally word of wisdom. We invite anybody to come into this building, because this is where the church meets to worship. Amen? And as you look around this church, we have got an economic range like few churches have. From executives to people on the street, literally. All shades, from dark black, like my Kenya brother, who I love dearly, to pale white, English, and everything in between. And I look around and I say, this is what heaven's gonna look like. This is what heaven's gonna... Anyway. So, but I say all that just to say, be wise. Can we take up the offering, please? So now you can put your hand in your pocket without any embarrassment. Take your wallet out. Don't worry, all the little cameras in the roof are... And we got these fancy new boxes. We did a few weeks teaching on finances in the church, detoxing it from legalistic, old covenant, mandatory giving into New Testament, joyful giving for the gospel. And I've challenged those who are part of this church to consider how they are part of the gospel at this church. So as we do that, thanks, Russ. There's this little fancy slot on the side. You can only get one note in at a time. But you can't take change, sorry, unfortunately. Please go ahead, take up the offering. Lord, we thank you that the gospel is going to be preached in this place. It's going to be preached while I'm on watch. It's going to be preached when the next person comes in on watch. It's going to be preached until Jesus Christ lights up the sky and splits eternity and puts his foot on this planet. We are going to preach the good news that Jesus saves, Jesus heals, Jesus delivers, and he is a coming king who will reign on this planet. And he's got a people he calls his bride. He calls them his beloved. And he is going to use them in ever-increasing glory on this planet. So thank you for all the partners we have in this house who give joyfully to the gospel. Not to the building fund only, but to the gospel. In Jesus' name. And all people said, amen and amen. We've been doing a series over the last couple of weeks looking at this kingdom of God breaking into our worldly life and worldly problems and difficulties. God's rule. But there's a king in this new kingdom. And he wants us to take back what has been lost. So he came and recommissioned us. And he gave us the tools and the equipment to get the job done. And we've been looking at some of those over the last couple of weeks. And I'm kind of continuing. But I'm really excited because today is Resurrection Sunday. It's the first Easter that's fallen on the same weekend as the Jewish Passover in a long time. It's the first weekend that's had what they call an eclipse red moon. And it's the same weekend that hundreds of our dear, precious brothers are being martyred for their faith throughout this continent. And I'm saying, even so come, Lord Jesus. Even so come, Lord Jesus. If that means you come in power through your church first, which I believe he is, then let's believe that. Sometimes things don't turn out exactly the way we thought they would. That's just the truth of the matter. And as I think in my own life, there were times I had expectations about certain things. They never got fulfilled. I had certain hopes. I remember at Bible college once, we were in our third year, and we were very anxious about the fourth year coming up. Were we going to get called to a church? What was going to happen? You know? And I had an invitation from a church. They then put a call to me. A little church in Creel. Does anyone know where Creel is? A great little church, about a couple hundred people. They had a good Christian school there. And Janet and I were so excited about this. We went back to our leadership and we put it before them. And they prayed and came back and said, if you want to go, you can go. You've got to hear from God. But we don't feel this is the right time. Have you ever felt just disappointed? Come on. This is for you this morning. Sometimes you've just had a hope or an anticipation or an expectation and it hasn't been realized. And you find yourself in this awkward place between a promise and the fulfillment. And I know you've been there because I've pastored here for the last 15 years or so and I've seen a lot of people working through those situations. We can identify with people like Joseph in the Old Testament. We had a promise in a dream, and then the next step was into a pit, and the next step was into a prison before he ever got to his promise and the purpose. And as we look at Bible characters, we can identify with them that sometimes we live in this awkward place, this uncomfortable place between when we receive a promise of something and the actual outworking of it. David was another example in the Old Testament. Come on, he was prophesied, he was anointed, he was going to be the king. And then he spent the next couple of years running away from the king who was out to kill him. And we learn from that even David had his disgruntled times. You know, when you are living in that in-between place and you're just like, come on, it's got to get better than this. Not like Jack Nicholson, this is as good as it gets. This is not on. And he would grumble and groan and complain. Well, in both those lives we see, well, Joseph turned around and said, what man meant for evil, God has turned for good. And David turned around in the face of his onslaught and said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. And forget not all his benefits. He forgives all my sins and heals all my diseases. The disciples found themselves in that same place. That same difficult time between promise and fulfillment. Come on, you just got to look at it through their eyes for a moment, okay? Here are these disciples, Thomas, Bartholomew, Simon, Peter, James. They're at the top of their game. They're cooking. They've got so many followers on Twitter, they can't even keep up servicing their clients. They're front page headlines, newspaper. They are rocking on CNN. They are just who's who in the charismatic zoo. They just at the top of their game. Everything's going so well. Jesus is going to come and destroy the Romans, set up a kingdom. And now he's dead. You've got to admit, this is a serious disappointment. Andrew, can we just run through those few statements out of the gospel that sort of sum this up a little bit? First of all, in Matthew, we see Jesus is arrested. Okay, then we see all the disciples deserted him and fled. Then we see Peter denies Jesus. Then we see Judas betrays Jesus. And then we see the once adoring crowd who are singing, Hosanna, Hosanna, here comes our king, now shouting for Barabbas the murderer and thief to be released. We see the priests, the soldiers, and the co-crucified all mocking Jesus. And the disciples don't believe Mary's report that he is risen. And the doors are locked and they are chained by fear. Would you say they're going through just a little bit of disappointment between the promise and the fulfillment? And I mean, you can just imagine the conversation going on in this locked room. You can just imagine the disgruntledness and hopelessness. And Thomas probably saying, I told you so. I doubted it anyway. Thanks, Andrew, you can take that off. I doubted it anyway. You can just hear John saying to Peter, why did you put your sword away? You should have just kept chopping off ears and heads. You can hear Peter saying, guys, have we been misled? Have we been following a fake? What if we have misrepresented Jehovah of the covenants? And maybe Bartholomew said, yeah, now family's not going to accept us. The church is not going to accept us. We're going to be driven from our homes. The doors were locked in fear. And this conversation was going on between the disciples. What have we done? We've given up everything. Good fishermen, good tax collectors, probably not going to get our jobs back after this. Not only are our families angry with us, the whole community, it's just a matter of time before God's wrath falls on us and we are destroyed. I mean, you talk about a time of confusion. What does that time between promise and fulfillment look like in your life? What kind of internal conversations are you having in your mind? You know, we all have those when things don't go well. Or just in general. Like, okay, I've got some people over at my house. We're going to have coffee. And I go to the fridge and I open and there's no milk. Now I'm embarrassed. It's going to take too long for me to go down to the shop to get milk. So I come up with a brainwave. I'm going to go over to my tenant and I'm going to get a liter of milk from them. So I'm going to go get it. On the way, I'll start thinking, yeah, they're probably going to be a little bit miffed with me because it's their last liter of milk. And are they probably sleeping and I'm knocking on the door and wake them up? So they're going to be irritated with me. So they're going to be irritated and I'm taking their last liter of milk and I'm disturbing them. And they're going to probably think I'm just on the take, you know. I get to the door, knock on the door. He opens the door with a big smile and I say to him, oh, you can stick your milk anyway. What's just happened? What's just happened? And I know you do this. You do this when you, especially when we're going through this uncertain time in our lives, between a promise and the realization, between an expectancy and seeing it delivered, between what we believe is true and seeing a visible manifestation. We've got all these things going on. You know where these thoughts come from? I think the best illustration is it's just like TV waves. What are TV frequencies? What are they called? Come on, the clever guys. Frequencies, okay. These radio frequencies, they are God thoughts and then they are negative thoughts. I'm not just talking yin and yang here, negative thoughts, positive thoughts. I'm talking they are really God thoughts. They're God thoughts for your life. And then there's negative thoughts. And these frequencies are going around all the time. And we get to choose where we're going to turn the dial, where we're going to hook in. And these negative thoughts or lies are going around us all the time. And we're especially susceptible to them when we're feeling tired. I found that. When I'm fatigued, when I'm just tired, I've been go, I'm a much softer target for the enemy's lies. Well, who do you think you are anyway? You know, just put the news on and you'll see what's happening in the real world. You know, you thought, oh, you just could have that contract signed. Just, you know, 1, 2, 3, over and done. Don't you know people spend years and years and years before they get that contract signed? You know? Anyway, why are you trying to look so spiritual? You know who you really are. Those thoughts you had last night, that thing you said. You look around at you and you're judgmental to people that are different to you, and because they swerved in front of you in that big car, you now got an attitude. I know all about you. And these frequencies are rushing around, and when we're tired especially, we hook into those and we agree with them. I know agreement's like faith, but let's step out of faith terminology and talk about agreement. Because when I agree with God's thoughts, God's promises, God's purposes, that is faith. When I come into agreement with negative thoughts, that's fear. And they both have an effect on the physical circumstances of my life. The things that I'm in agreement with form the gate for heaven's invasion, either of blessing, or I form a gate of release of the enemy's plan to rob, kill, and destroy. I get a part to play. For too long, Christians think, oh, it's just all about what God wants to do. If I'm blessed, it's because God wants to. I'm going through a hard time, then it's God. No, it's not God. It's not even the devil all the time. Hello? It's not even the devil all the time. Most of it can be him, but most of the time, it's this thing called agreement. The thing that we agree with is a big deal. Because the mind gate sets into motion something that's going to either bring life or going to bring death. Now, I know we'd like to always blame the devil for what goes wrong in our life. But I think we've got to stop and take responsibility and say, what have I been in agreement with? Come on. If there's a lot of weeds in the garden, no use blaming the neighbor. Someone out there's got to take responsibility, and it's you. And if there's weeds growing in your garden, stop blaming God, stop blaming the devil, stop blaming your mother-in-law, stop blaming the church. Take responsibility for it and say, what have I had faith for? What have I been in agreement with? Yeah, for example, God's thoughts are He who steals must steal no longer, but earn his wage with his own hands. There's a God thought for you. Great one. Hallelujah. What is the antithesis to that thought? Well, I just grew up disadvantaged, so I'm going to put my hand in your wallet and just take money. That's a demonic thought. Now, when we come into agreement with that thought, what happens? Rob, kill, destroyed. What happens when we come into agreement with God's thoughts? We bring life. Now, between the promise and the fulfillment, I'm left in this awkward place of going, yeah, but where's my job now? Hello? Anybody know what I'm talking about? It's a good thing to have a wife. Good thing to have a husband. Good thing to have your debts paid. It's a good thing to be in good health and prosper as your soul prospers. It's a good thing to walk in joy and peace. It's a good thing to see the supernatural invading this earth. Those are God's thoughts. And then there's this other attack of thoughts. So agreement is a big deal. Okay, let me move on. I want to share with you quickly just three things. Different ways that we respond in this time of uncertainty. Because this is a really difficult time for most of us. And if we're honest, we're all going through it at some level. So let me just share with you responses. What are the kind of responses that we have towards this? The first one is we believe, I better have some water. I'm just trying to say. We believe things about God which are not true. That's one response. I recently got chatting to a guy. He was in our church for quite a long time, his whole family. A member of his family in another country got very ill and died. And he then, 1 + 1 = God does not exist. So I met this guy after quite a long time, and we got chatting. I said, haven't seen you around. You know, where are you fellowshipping? No, I don't fellowship anymore. Oh. And spiritually, how's it going with you? Well, you know, there might be a God, there might not be a God. I'm talking about somebody. I'm talking about a Bible reading, tongue talking, worshiping in this church, man, for a couple of years. And I realized that agreement with lies for too long brings us into a slavery where we think we're still in control. But we start believing things about God which aren't real and aren't true. People get sick and then we formulate doctrines to justify it. Oh, it must be God's will. God's trying to teach us something. This is God's way of getting me back to Him. We formulate all kinds of untruths about God. And that is a response, a way we cope, a way we deal with this challenging time, this uncertain time between promise and fulfillment. I know what it's like to be on the receiving end of that. I know what it's like to young, married, great future, making plans to travel, going, moving down to the Cape, driving the car, head-on accident, wake up in hospital, wife's gone to heaven. I know the sudden emptiness of, but God, you said, but God, I desired, but God, I thought, but God, but God, but God. And how we respond to that. Of course, there are emotions of anger, and that's fine. Of course, there's emotions of denial, and that's fine. But when we try and reduce the situation down and bring the Bible down to our interpretation, we start to accuse the nature of God for things that are not true, things that aren't who He is. And then secondly, we become offended and we begin withdrawing from God. I'm going to show you, God. I'm going to take it out on you now. Lazarus dies. Jesus is late for the funeral. Notice Martha meets Jesus on the way. Mary's staying at home. You know, that's always a sure indication that someone's withdrawing. Well, I'll just stay at home knitting. I'm fine. No, really, I'm fine. Oh, yeah, you were late for the funeral. No, but I'm fine. If you'd been here, my brother would be alive. Withdrawn. Now, that wasn't in Mary's nature. She was kind of upfront, in your face, go get her. It's a sure indication of a response that's not going to be helpful, that's going to show an agreement with things that aren't going to bring release and favor and the kingdom to break into the impossibilities. It's going to cause a slow withdrawal. And as a pastor, it breaks my heart because I see this happen. And for years and years, I ran circles trying to speak people out of it, and I discovered that doesn't work. So now I just try and pray people out of it. And I do. I pray for you. You might not know that. I pray for you. And I know people in this community that are going through stuff. And I'm fortunate that I've got maybe a lot more free time in some respects to do the work of ministry. So I can pray for people. But I know people are going through stuff, and I pray and pray. And then when I see them one day and the light is gone from their eyes, it makes my heart want to break. I don't feel rejection, but I know there's a greater one. I know there's a greater one. And we say things about him that are not true. We believe things about him that are not true. How's this happened in your life? What have you been through that has skewed your interpretation of God, warped your understanding of his ways, brought down the word to your experience? Well, maybe this cancer was just a way of God disciplining. That's a demonic thought, my friend. I mean, you and me who are evil in comparison to God, would we even think of putting something like Ebola virus and injected it into our child to teach them never to steal chocolates out of the fridge again? But we think God would do that. And we ascribe characteristics to God that are not him at all. And we look around and we say, yo, but if it was God, then what about this? I tell you, most of the negative stuff going on is because we have got a century of systemic wrong agreement in the nature of God, the character of God. We've believed lies too long. We believe things about God that came from the pit of hell. We've seen a manifestation of them into our governments and schools and circumstances. And then we turn around and say, but if God was a God of love, this wouldn't have happened. In Jesus' own hometown, they couldn't receive a good word. They couldn't receive healings because they knew who Jesus was. You know, he was just one of the boys, used to go down and play pool on a Friday afternoon and hang around and, you know, go down for swimming and surf on a Saturday. He was one of our buddies, one of our chummies. And now who does he think he is coming into town with this message of the kingdom and healing the sick? And Jesus could do no mighty work. Jesus. So who do you think you are? When you're surrounded by doubt, negativity, and criticism, that we don't see the kingdom of God break in. Come on. I think that's an angel phoning me right now saying, good preaching, Pastor Steve. Go for it. This is the truth. This is a word we need to hear in the church. Amen. Okay. So we've looked at those two ways. I want to look at a final way, a better response. Between this awkward time of Friday and Sunday. And it's this. The most challenging thing for us is to trust and praise God during this uncertain time. Do you hear that? Can I say it again? The most challenging thing for us is to trust and praise God during this uncertain time between promise and fulfillment. That's the response that's going to bring an agreement that's going to change the situation. That is the response that's going to engage heaven and see heaven's supernatural overwhelm earthly impossibility. That is the attitude. You know why? Because praise, like nothing else, stands in faith. Like nothing else. You can't praise and not be in faith. So that's why David said, bless the... I did this yesterday. I was walking on the beachfront. I just had a horrid couple of weeks. You know, I was just disappointed. unimpressed, disimpressed, oppressed, possessed. You know, I just had it all thrown on me. A couple of weeks of just being irritated. I went down to the beachfront yesterday. I was going to take a long swim out to the nets knowing that I can't get back again. No, no, not really. And I'm walking down the beachfront and like just people running. You know, they're like ducking, trying to walk down the beachfront now on a Saturday morning. You know, you've got millions of people running. And suddenly just from inside me a song came. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. And forget not. Say forget not. And forget not all His benefits. He forgives all your sins and He heals all your disease. Let me tell you, Jesus brought a kingdom and it's got benefits. Jesus brought a kingdom and it brought promises. Jesus brought a kingdom and it brought a solution. So I will speak to my soul. I will say, you are going to bless the Lord right now. So bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. And at some stage, you can physically feel faith coming up. And you know what you've just done? You've opened up a gate for the glory of the presence of God to come into your life, to come into that city. You've opened up. It's like that gate of praise in Isaiah where it says, the gate shall be called praise. And in that same picture in Revelations, those gates are made of pearls. And as we come in, a pearl is a process of taking something that could have been hurtful, a piece of sand on a soft tissue, and through a process of coating it with a substance becomes a pearl, something beautiful. You see, gates of praise, when we come in through gates of praise, we are taking something that was destructive. We are taking something that was awful. We are taking something that was hurtful. We are taking a Friday and we're saying, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. And we can see a pearl of praise. And you know what that does? Opens the gates for the glory of God. You see, whatever you're going through right now, and you look at your circumstances around you, let me tell you, that is Friday. But praise puts God above Friday and equals Sunday. Resurrection power is on the way. Praise puts God above your circumstances. Praise reminds you that Jesus Christ bought all your problems. All your problems. You know, He bought everything when He paid in His blood. That was a magnificent price He paid. That was a sensational cost to Jesus to get everything about you. And everything means that includes the good things, the bad things, the not so nice things, the worst things, even your problems, even my problems. Say after me, Jesus bought my problems. Come on, say it like you believe it now. Jesus bought my problems. You see, if we really believe that, then it's not my problem anymore. If He owns it, do I own it? No, He owns it. That means He owns this situation, this Friday turmoil, He owns it. And it's His property. It's His problem. Lord, you've got another problem. Now He says, I had that problem when I bought you 2,000 years ago. Don't worry, I already owned your problems. I already bought your problems. And I already got a way out of your problems. So just keep on praising me. Just keep on opening a gate of joy. Just keep on opening a gate of praise. Just keep on trusting me. Bring your frequency into line with the power of God, with the deliverance of God. Maybe that was Sunday. But let me tell you, it would have been a different matter in the upper room. Because Thomas would have been saying, come on guys, let's stop doubting what Jesus said. And Peter said, yes, He said He was going to build a gate, the church, and the gates of hell wouldn't come against it. And Bartholomew would say, yes, God is for us. Who can be against us? And James would have said, my God can work all things together for good. And Andrew would have said, if God is for us, who can be against us? And they would have got so excited because they came into the frequency of heaven that when Jesus walked into the room, He wouldn't have had to say, peace to you. He would have said, wow, there's so much peace in this place. I just want to dive in and enjoy it. I mean, we bring the peace of God into a situation when we come into agreement with God's thoughts and God's word. We turn our Friday into Sunday when we come into agreement with God's thoughts. Bill Johnson said, you can only have authority over the storm you can sleep in. You can only have authority in the storm you can sleep in. We've got to get to a place of peace. Peace in our situation. And there, God's power will manifest. Because there is a place of open gates of God's provision breaking into our lives. So this morning, I want you to stand up now. And I want to pray this resurrection power to invade your impossibilities. Say after me, Father God, I have an opportunity for your resurrection power to break in and to invade my impossible situations. It was Friday, and I was feeling down. I was feeling negative. But Sunday is here, and there's resurrection power flowing in your body. And I'm here to praise you now. I'm here to open the gates. I'm here to lift up a shout of praise to you. And problem, you working for me, not against me. Amen. Let's give the Lord a praise. Come on, church. We're going to worship. We're going to praise. We're going to exalt Him here this morning. We love you, Jesus. You are the center and you are the beginning and end of all things. Worship your holy name. Worship your holy name.